Well, good morning, everybody. Merry Christmas. Yeah, my name is Brad. It's great to see you all here this morning. I hope you all had a wonderful Christmas. It is an extremely busy time of year, busy holiday. And if you have kids, well, it can be kind of borderline crazy. And I do mean that in a good way, because there is really nothing like seeing the excitement on a kid's face on Christmas morning. And then the fellowship that we get to have with family and friends. You know, John, in his normal fashion, gets up at 3 a.m. and wants everybody to rip into presents. But he was patient this year and waited for his sister to wake up, and then we got on with our day. And it was a long day, but it was a great day. But have you ever noticed that how quick it comes, it goes just as fast? And before we know it, we're slammed right up against a new year where we ponder what has gone over or what we have gone through over the last year, what we went through, the things we struggled with, the things we triumphed over. And we find ourselves here at this intersection of reflection and anticipation, one where we're looking back over this year, and we look forward to what the new year, what 2025 might be bringing us. You know, as I thought about this, I thought about how do we start the new year off on the right foot? How do we head down the path that God wants us to head down? And as I thought about this, I think that what we need to do is be able to end this year well in order for us to begin next year well. And I think that the best way that we can do that is by reflecting on the promises that God gives us, his love and his faithfulness for us. You know, by setting our eyes on the promises of God, we can face each coming circumstance, whether they're good or they're bad, with the hope and love that he provides us, with a renewed strength and the proper perspective. But before we dive in this morning, let's go ahead and bow our heads and open with prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to gather together, where we come together united in our love for you and our desire to get to know you more. Father, we ask you for your wisdom as we reflect on your promises, your guidance as we navigate our present circumstances, and Father, for your hope as we look forward to what 2025 might be bringing us. God, open our eyes that we're able to see your truth. Open our ears that we can hear your voice. And Father, our hearts to feel your love and to receive what it is that you have for us this morning. And we pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen. So our main passage this morning is going to be out of the book of Isaiah. If you have your Bible or your app, you can go ahead and turn to there. We're going to specifically be looking at chapter 43, verses 1 through 7. And it says this: "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Saba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." You know, when we pause and we reflect on the past promises that God has made, we see this rich web of divine faithfulness just weave together that reaches all the way back to the dawn of creation. God has always been a promise keeper, a covenant maker, a God who is true to his word. This is a truth that we see echoed time and time again throughout Scripture. And it stands as a beacon of hope in our lives. You know, in verse 1, we read of God's promises of redemption. He declares, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." You know, God has not only created and formed us, but he has also redeemed us and called us by name, claiming us as his own. A promise that speaks of his deep, passionate, personal love for each and every one of us. This promise of redemption is one that is a living reality for us today. It isn't just about what God has done for us in our past, but what he continues to do in our lives. Every day, he is at work redeeming us, transforming us, and making us more and more like him. He is constantly calling us by name, inviting us into a deeper relationship with him, all along reminding us that we do not belong to this world, but rather that we belong to him. As we look back over this past year, can you see where you might have tripped up, fell into something that you shouldn't have gotten into? Maybe hung around people or crowds that you probably shouldn't have been hanging around. Sometimes when this happens, it can really feel like the world has consumed us, that it maybe has a grip on us that we can't pry ourselves away from. But this promise reminds us that the world doesn't own us. God has redeemed us and we are his. And he is calling us by name, no matter where we find ourselves today. You know, this promise isn't just about ourselves individually, but it's also about us collectively as a body. You know, when God says that you are mine, he's not just talking to us personally, but he is talking to us as a community of believers. He reminds us that we are part of something much larger than ourselves. That we're a part of his family, his body, his church. This is a promise that binds us and unites us together for a common purpose and a shared destiny. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, God declares this. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You see, God did not just redeem us just because, just for the sake of doing so. He did it with a specific purpose and a plan in mind, both collectively as a body and individually as a follower and disciple of Christ. This is a promise of a hopeful future. One that isn't just limited to our lives here on earth, but extends all the way into eternity. The greatest redemptive action is out of his love for us when he sent his son to die on a cross for us, to pay for the sins that we couldn't pay for. And it's through the blood of Jesus that we are redeemed, and the broken relationship between God and us is restored and repaired. This promise of a hopeful future is anchored in his love and his grace and his mercy for us. We read in Isaiah 43:4, it's because you are precious in his eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. I wonder if we look back over this past year, if we could identify where God has called us. Called us back to him, drawing us closer to him, giving us a reason to hope and a reason to press on, no matter what the circumstances are. You know, I think it's easy for us to get so caught up into what we're going through. We get so into what it is in the heat of the moment that sometimes we're unable to see the work that God's doing in us and through us. We're unable to hear his call for us. But Paul gives us a great example for us in his letter to the Philippians, where he states, "But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus." You know, Paul's words remind us that even though it's important to learn from what we have gone through in our past, where we currently find ourselves today, that we don't lose sight what lies ahead for us. To continue to press on towards that prize, that hopeful future that he promises us. You know, the one that is linked to our lives here on earth, but most importantly, the hopeful future of eternity with God. In all these promises, we see a God who is faithful and loving, who is involved. He's not just standing on the sidelines watching things go by, but he's directly involved. Sorry, I just lost my place. But even as we look back at these promises, we evaluate where we're currently at today and what the new year may have in store for us, we cannot ignore that there are going to be difficulties and challenges, because this world is full of them. And we will, if we're not currently, going to have to deal with these times that are going to test us. And it's going to take perseverance to get through these times, to press on. And it's important that we remember that we are not alone. You know, we just read in Isaiah 43:2, he says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. Now, our faith is not just about remembering God's promises, but also about how we live out our faith now and in the future in 2025, and especially when we face these times of difficulties and challenges. You know, the word perseverance in Greek is hupomone, and it's used in various places throughout the New Testament. For instance, in Romans 5, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Not only so, but we glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." Here, hupomone is translated as perseverance, and it refers to the ability to endure hardships and difficulties with patience and faith. Now, I don't know about you, but I can kind of find that difficult, to be able to face difficulties and challenges with patience. You know, I think the natural reaction for us in these times is to be, okay, how do I get out of this? How do I make this stop as quickly as possible? You know, it's like Becky riding Cosmic Rewind, which is a roller coaster at Disney. Holding on tight, white knuckle grip, close our eyes, and pray for the ending as quickly as possible. But we don't necessarily just say, okay, I'm just going to sit here and I'm going to ride this wave to the end. You know, when we hold on to the promise that God has a plan and a purpose and a hopeful future for us, we walk through these times with a resolve that is not of our own, but that of Christ. We are able to stand steadfast in our faith, even when things around us seem to be like they're crumbling all around us. Even when we feel like we have nothing left to give, we're able to press on, to persevere, to remain steadfast in our faith. You know, this reminds me of what James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, where he stated, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." You know, I remember when I first came across this verse, and to be quite honest, it really made me angry with God. It was when Becky was pregnant with John, and it was right after we were informed that he wouldn't make it to birth, that if he did, he would have multiple birth defects, be severely mentally handicapped, and would only live a couple of weeks at most. You know, I remember asking God, how in the world am I supposed to find joy in that? All I could see was fear, anxiety, pain, and loss. But I was having the wrong perspective on what James is writing here. The joy that James is writing about isn't what we would normally or automatically think of when we think about joy. You know, the laughing, happiness, fun, right? That's joy. But rather, what James is writing about is about the work that God is doing in us and through us in the midst of whatever that we're going through. It's about the growth in faith and character in the midst of them, trusting in God's goodness and sovereignty, even while everything around us suggests otherwise. You know, I definitely am not the person that I was before going through that. God has taught me some very hard lessons through it, and ones that I probably would not have learned otherwise. You know, after learning about the joy that James writes about, I wasn't quite as angry with God. But it didn't take the pain away. It didn't make it any easier. But it did give me an inner peace that no matter what happens, it's going to be okay. That God has a plan and a purpose through it. You know, when my perspective changed, I began to see some of the work that God was doing in me, in my family, and in those that I came in contact with. And another example is a story of the Israelites' journey through the wilderness to the promised land. Now, after being delivered out of Egypt, they face an onslaught of difficulties and challenges in their journey. Some of their own doing, but they face an uncertainty of their future. But even in the midst of all that, they continue to trust in God and follow his guidance. They learned a lot about God and their faith in their journey. They continued to hope in God's promises. You know, it's a good reminder for us that our faith is just not about enjoying God's blessings, but also trusting God's guidance amid whatever our current circumstances are. That it's not just about the destination, but it's also about the journey. Remembering the promises that God has redeemed us, that he is constantly calling us by name, that we are his, that he has a purpose and a plan for us, and that he gives us a hopeful future, we can turn our gaze to 2025, this new year, with anticipation and excitement. It presents us with an opportunity to write new chapters in our lives, a fresh start, if you would. It allows us to look at the new year and set goals, to stretch our faith and to believe in God for greater things. You know, some of you have probably already set New Year's resolutions, and that's great. Did you know that research conducted by the University of Scranton suggests that people who explicitly make resolutions are 10 times more likely to achieve their goals than those that don't? So dreaming and setting goals is important, but doing so through the lenses of God's promises sets the tone for the coming year. It allows us to end this year well and to begin this new one on the right foot, headed in the right direction. It helps us stay focused on how we can cultivate a deeper relationship with God, to seek his face and to know his heart. You know, the great Christian writer C.S. Lewis once said, "The new year is always a good time to start living the truths that we know." But it is going to take perseverance, a resolve to be committed to change. We have to be willing to let go of the old habits, the old mindsets, the old ways of doing things that aren't in line with what God's will is for us. And sometimes change can be uncomfortable and painful, but that's okay. Let's be open to the new things that God wants to do in us and through us this new year. You know, we serve a God that's not only an author of our past, but he is also the architect of our future. He is the one who is calling us by name, who's promised us a hope and a hopeful future, and who's beckoning us to press on towards that prize. He is the one who has been with us in our past, who is with us currently in our present, and who will always be with us in our future. You know, as we leave today, let's not lose sight of the power of perseverance, the importance of pressing on, and the promise of God's unfailing love and faithfulness for us. Let's take these truths to heart. Let's live them out daily. And let's take them out into a world that is in desperate need of hope and healing. Would you pray with me? Father, we're so grateful for what it is that you've done for us, for the love and the faithfulness that you showed us, the promises that you have made for us, the promises you made in the past that are still true today and will be true for us in 2025. Father, give us your wisdom and your strength as we face this new year and whatever may come. Father, may we evaluate what we went through this past year, what we're currently going through, and we can anticipate look forward to what you are going to bring us in 2025. With your resolve, with your love, with your hope. Father, we pray that we would not leave this place unchanged today. That we can leave this place knowing that you promised us a hopeful future. No matter what that looks like, Father. And Father, we pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.